It's interesting that darkness does nothing to light. Darkness does nothing to light. You can try to add as much darkness as you can to light, and it won't do anything at all. But light always changes the darkness. Light always changes the darkness. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." And the light shone in the darkness. And that was the beginning of God's creation. The beginning of God's creation. We have the sun, and we have fire, and we have our light bulbs. In fact, while I'm thinking about it, Trev, can you turn those lights on and shine some light in the darkness? Make it a little easier to see. It'll take you, you'll have to go through all four before you hit it. I do every time. See? Every time. We have our light bulbs, and we have our high energy light bulbs. We have our LEDs, and we have our CFLs, and those terrible, terrible, terrible filament light bulbs. They're really wicked. And I'm glad the government just got rid of them, because they're just bad. Terrible to have 25-cent light bulbs. We really need to spend $10 a light bulb and not 25 cents. And so we think that because we have our light bulbs on, because the sun is shining, that there's light. This is a light that God has given us in His mercy. But even though there is light, without the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no light at all. There is no light at all without the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the world, and He is the light of men. He is the one who gives light unto the world. And so, in a lot of ways, this is an artificial light. The sun itself is an artificial light. And unless we take hold of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in darkness. Every unsaved person is in darkness. They must come to the light. And the truth is that we as saved people spend too much time in the darkness rather than coming to the light. And we prove it, we prove our time in the darkness by our sin. You see, if we were in the light, we wouldn't sin. And that's what 1 John tells us. If we're in the light, we wouldn't sin. And when we escape from Christ and His light, that is where we will sin. And God doesn't want that for us. Because it's always better to be in the light than in the darkness. It is always better to be in the light than in the darkness. One of the holidays that we think of during this time is Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the festival of lights. Now, Hanukkah is not a Bible festival, but it's a festival that came about a little while before the Lord Jesus Christ came upon the earth. Hanukkah was a time that is celebrated because of a miraculous thing that God did. Back in the 100 AD, somewhere in that time, but Rome had taken over Jerusalem. A man, Titus, came in, and he desecrated the temple of God, making sacrifice of pigs. And the Maccabeans, led by this Jewish man, came in, and they were able to expel the Jews. And the menorah never lost its light, even though there was no oil to light the lamp. And from that time on, the Jewish people began to put lights in their windows. And so you'll often go by and see lights in the windows of people's homes. And that has to do with those lights. And it was said in the days of Jesus, if you were to enter into Jerusalem during the times of Hanukkah, that it was it was as bright as the sun. Now, I'm sure it wasn't as bright as the sun, but that's the way it was described. It was described as a wonder of the world. Jerusalem lit up during the time of the Festival of Lights. And people would light a light in each one of the windows, and each day of Hanukkah they'd light another light until the house was filled with candles. And each day the city would grow brighter and brighter. I believe that the Lord Jesus uses this in Scripture to speak about Himself. Because when He comes into Jerusalem during this Festival of Lights, He says this, "I am the light. I am the light." You see, all those candles are meaningless without meaning. They really have no meaning. And in fact, during that time, the meaning of those candles became what we might equate to a neighborhood war over who can have the most lights on their home. And who can have the very best lights. And so people began to do that, but it all became not what God did, but how many lights they could light up in their home. And today we see that in some neighborhoods where every home is lit up. They even have contests. Whose home is the best lit? Right? I love Christmas lights. I love to when we have time to be able to go and to just drive and try to find Christmas lights. And as we're driving and we see Christmas lights, we'll cry out, "Christmas lights," and everybody will look. And I really enjoy going and trying to find Christmas lights. It's one of the things that I really enjoy doing with my family during Christmas time. But the truth is that light has no meaning without the Lord Jesus Christ. Light has no meaning without the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God help us to be a people who say, you know what, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light. It is He that I must come to. And we come to Christ for salvation, but we must come to the light every day. When we fail in our lives to come to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to dwell in darkness, and we do it on purpose so that we can have our secret sins. And where there's light, there's no secret. And so if you look there in 1 John chapter 1, in verse 5, the Scripture says, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." It's interesting, of all the messages that John could have given, or any of the ways in which John could have given the message, he said, "This is the message I declare. God is light." God is light. Now, I think this is done on purpose because in all the books that he writes, particularly in the Gospel of John, Jesus is spoken of as the light all the time. And so God gives special emphasis upon the fact that He is light. And I do not believe that God uses the light as a simple metaphor for who He is. And we'll see that in a second. It is who He is. If I were to say this phrase with a blank at the end, we might fill it in with many things. One of the things we'll often go to, I'll say it, God is blank. What do we put in there? What would most Christians put in there? Jackie? God is good, all right? So we might say God is good, and the reason why we say that is because of the old prayer that we'd say when we were little, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, right? But when we're speaking scripturally, what do we often say? God is what? He's holy, all right? God is holy. This is not just a description of who God is, this is who He is. God is love. God is love. And we often speak will give messages about God just doesn't show love. That is who he is. But when we come to who God is, we very rarely think of God as light, but here we see God is light. God is light. It is who he is. And so, what message does John decide that he's going to declare by the inspiration of God? A holy man of God, he writes these things down. What message does he want these people that he's speaking to in this epistle? What message does he want them to have? God is light. God is light, and there's no darkness in him at all. There is no darkness in him at all. This is important, number one, for our salvation and for our continued fellowship with the Lord. But what makes the understanding of God is light and in him is no darkness at all, why is that message the message that's so important that John wants to spend this book to declare it? What makes that message so important? What do you think? Yeah? Light is perfection, right? Light is perfection. And so God is perfect. There's no darkness in him. That means there's no sin in him, right? There's no sin in God. God has never sinned. God never will sin. And by the way, always remember that Jesus could not sin when he was upon the earth because he's God. People say, well, he could have sinned because he's man. Well, listen, man was not made to sin. And man does not need to sin. We do sin, but we do not need to. And so Jesus did not have to sin or even have the option to sin because he's man. You see, we will be people, we will be mankind, we will be men and women when we leave this world. But when we see Jesus, we'll never sin again. And we will not have the option to sin. And praise the Lord, we won't even want to sin. But Jesus is light, and in him is no darkness at all. What makes that important for the gospel? What makes that important for our salvation? Becca? He's the only one, sure. Because who else is there that's light with no darkness, right? Nobody. Nobody. Nobody devised by man is like Jesus, the light of the world, in whom there is no sin. In whom there is no sin. He is without sin, sure. What else makes it important for our salvation that he is light and in him is no darkness. Ed? He's the standard. He's holy. There's none other but him to look unto to know what our standard is. And so what do we find when Jesus is the standard? That we are fall short. In other words, we're not the light, right? We can't say, I'm light and in me is no darkness. When I was a young Christian, one of the first time I came home to Rhode Island, there were people at Walmart, and they were handing out tracts. And I stopped to talk to them because I'd just gotten saved, and I thought this was pretty cool. And so I started talking to him, and one of the first things he said to me is, yeah, what we want people to have is to understand this, that they need to get to the place where they never sin. And I thought, well, that might be something. But then he said, yeah, the man who disciples me, he never sins. I said, what? He said, yeah. You know, I'm getting real close. And I began to think to myself, this is crazy. And I'm glad I knew that was crazy from the very beginning. Because guess what? No matter how much we may try, no matter how much we may try, the truth is that we are not the light. We are, without Jesus, we are not the light. Jesus is the light. He is the one in whom there is no darkness. If Jesus were not the light, he's the standard by which we live by, and we see that we are below standard, vastly below standard. But him being the light also reveals not only our sin. You see, if there are two people in a room on opposite sides, and one flips on the light, guess what? They both can see themselves, and they both can see each other. And why is this important? Because when God flips on the light, we can see ourselves in our darkness and our sin, but we can see Him, which is a remarkable thing. Because why should we be able to see who God is? Why should we have any opportunity to be saved? He says, because I'm gonna show you that I'm the light. And that's such an incredible thing for us, that God would show Himself so that we can be saved. You see, if God didn't show Himself, we would be in darkness, right? Now we're going to see in a moment that God is the light of all man, that every man has had this light shined unto him. But most people, and us at one point before we were saved, were like mice in the kitchen. When it's dark, you can hear them, but you turn on the light and you never see them, right? Except what they leave on the counter, right? That's what we're like. As soon as the light is turned on, we scatter to the darkness. And that's what we're like. It's not that God has not shined the light upon all mankind. It's that as soon as the light goes on, we scatter. And so it's very important for us that we understand that without the light, we couldn't be saved. Now, why is this important for us in our fellowship? We're saved. Why is that the fact and the understanding that God is light important for us not only to be saved, but in our fellowship with Him on a day-to-day basis? Why is it important for us? Megan? The barrier of sin's been knocked down, right? It's important for us to understand that He is the light, that any light that we have comes from Him. All right? And so what happens if we, as saved people, don't come to the light? What can we not be?
Light.
We can't be light, right? The scripture in some places describes us as mirrors. Right? How good is a mirror without light? None. And when the light is turned on, we are not the one being reflected, we're the reflection. All right? And so with that light comes a reflection that we can see. Jesus is the one being reflected in us. But if there is no light, He's there, He exists, right? But there is no reflection, right? By the way, prove that. It's like if a tree falls in the woods, does it make a sound? Well, I don't know. I've never been there when a tree's fallen in the woods, but nobody's there, because if I was there, then I would be there. But if there is a mirror and I'm standing in front of it, but there is no light, is there a reflection? Well, for all intents and purposes, the answer is no. And so for our fellowship with the Lord, we must understand that He's light. What is going to be the reason why we don't come to the light? What is going to be the reason? What's that? We love darkness. We love our sin. And so we're going to see that God has given us, He is a merciful God who does not want us as His first fruits to be unable to reflect His light. And so in 1 John 1:9, He says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so God is light, and it is of the utmost importance that we understand this. For it makes Him the primary and ultimate source. Without Him, we're nothing, right? Without Him, we're nothing. Jesus is the light. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. I pray that you'd meet with the Lord every day. When there is true and honest revival, Christians are going to be meeting with the Lord every day. And the Lord is going to shed His light abroad. Jesus is the light. And so you look there in Revelation chapter 21, we see a description of this great city. It's the city of God. It's the heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. It's truly going to be a remarkable thing. Listen to the description of this place. It's unlike any place that has ever been devised. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the secret of seven plagues, and talked to me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now I want you to notice that phrasing. He says, having the glory of God. Now, the word glory means to shine brightly. And so where does the brightness come from for this city? God. Now, listen to what it says. And her light, that's the glory, was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And so as John is looking upon this, he's looking upon the glory that is given to this city by God. In other words, without God, what glory does the city have? None. And verse 12, it had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east three gates, and on the north three gates, and on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth four square, and the length as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Now, for all intents and purposes, that's about 1,500 miles. Just to give you an idea of how big the city is. The length and the breadth were the same. So length and breadth, that's how long, how wide, 1,500 miles. I've mentioned this to you before, but that's about from here to Florida, from Florida to Texas, from Texas to Colorado, and Colorado back to us. That's a big city. That is bigger than any city the world has ever known by multitudes and multitudes of times. That makes New York City look like a blip on the map, and that's what it is. New York City is if you were to look at a map of America, is just a blip. And even though it's the biggest city in America, it is a blip compared to the size of America. But we're talking about a city that is by square mileage just about as big as America. And the most amazing thing is he doesn't end there, but he says, and the height of it were equal. Now, I don't know how to figure that out. I can't even imagine what that looks like. But God is saying that the city is as high as it is long, which is 1,500 miles. You measure the height of the city by the height of its biggest building. Around the world, people are constantly trying to build bigger and bigger buildings. I'm glad when they decided to build a building there in the place of the Twin Towers that we didn't say, you know what, we're going to try to build one bigger than anywhere else in the world. But China and Saudi Arabia, always trying to build the biggest building. I think the biggest is just over 2,000 feet, which is huge. I mean, that's almost half a mile. But it's not 1,500 miles. If you look at verse 18, and the building of the wall was as jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedonia, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysophorus, the 11th, jacinth, the 12th, and amethyst, all precious stones. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as were transparent glass. By the way, I want you to notice there just for a moment that the scripture says the street of gold. We often sing about the streets of gold because when we imagine a city, we imagine a city with many streets. There's no city that has one street, but God says there's one street in the city of God. There's a lot we can say about that, but just think about that when you get a chance. Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What would this city be without Jesus? It'd be nothing. It would be, what good would it be for our eyes? It would be worth nothing to our eyes. In fact, if it were dark, it would be a scary place, for what could we see? We would grope around. But praise the Lord, Jesus is there. And by the way, he's always going to be there. There's nothing that's going to be able to take him away. What is the city like with light? What is the city like with the light? Just imagine what God said about the city. What is the city like with light? There's things that we know, obviously, because the Bible says it. What are some of those things? Sheer gold. And and the light is so bright that pure gold does what? Shines like clear glass, right? Now, I've never had anything that's pure gold, and I've never seen anything that's pure gold except for pictures. And even that is never declared to be pure gold. It's always 99.99%, because I guess they can't guarantee that there's no, bad stuff in it. But this light must be quite bright. For it shines as clear glass. Clear glass. How bright is gold without light? Right. It's not bright at all. Not bright at all. What else? How else does God describe the city? Stones, precious stones. It's everywhere you look, precious stones. Of course, the street of gold. This is beyond the imagination of what this city really looks like. All we can say is it's got precious stones. And there's a light that shines on it that makes it bright. By the way, one day, if we're saved, we're going to be there. Just imagine that. But where would this city, this bride of Christ, be without the light? Notice back, verse 9, come hither, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. What would it be like? Jesus said, we are the bride of Christ. That's what he calls us, the church. The church is the bride of Christ. Imagine such a thing. What would we be like without Christ? Be darkness. When God describes this new Jerusalem, he's not describing an old hag. Right? He's not describing a witch. He's not describing Dorothy's nemesis. And that's the way the Lord sees us. Why? Why? Is it because we are so finely adorned? Is it because we have attained high status? Is it because we have the finest makeups and perfumes and et cetera, et cetera? There's only one reason why he says we are his bride, his blessed bride, his beautiful bride, his spotless bride. It's because he is the light. Without him, we would be an old hag. We would be of the ugliest of things. We'd truly be like that woman who gave the apple to Snow White. That's what we would be like. But in fact, he says we're the fairest of them all. Amen? We're the fairest of them all. And we don't need a mirror to show us. Because he is the light. What would we be like without the light? The thing is, we know, don't we? We know what we would be without the light. Praise the Lord of what we are because of him. Amen. Turn over to John, in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That was very important. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, that's his light. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What do we learn about the true light? Number one, in verse 4, the scripture says, and in him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's the light of men. Jesus is the light of men. Jesus is the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus lights in the darkness of the world, but the world did not acknowledge him. The world did not acknowledge him. Or Jesus shines in the darkness in the world, in the darkness of the world, but the world did not acknowledge him. Number three, Jesus shines upon every person that is born in the world. I want you to know, and this is very important, that Jesus shines upon every person in the world. Therefore, when every person goes before God, if they did not come to the light, do they have an excuse? They're without excuse, aren't they? They are without excuse. Why should we be willing for the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to shine upon us? Let me ask it this way. Why are we unwilling to let the light of the Lord Jesus shine upon us? Mark? We don't want him to know what we're doing. And guess what? Jesus is the light of men. Right? Can we hide? We cannot hide. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start there in verse 4. The scripture says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." All right, who's the God of this world? Satan. "Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And so, what does God say is the light here? The glorious gospel. That's right. The gospel is Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so what did the light do in which we got saved by? It shined into our hearts. Now notice what it says. "To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God." And so the light shines in our hearts. Why? In order that we might give the light through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the light was never designed to stay in our heart, but it can never leave our heart, right? The light was designed to shine forth. The light was designed to shine forth. God shines the light so that we might know him and so that we might walk together with him, which is truly a remarkable thing. That our God would want us to walk together with him with the same purpose and desire and goal that he has for the world. If we are not walking with him, are we in the light or in the darkness? Where are you walking today? Are you walking in the light? If you are not walking with him, you are not in the light, you are in darkness. And you are not in agreement with him. You're not in partnership with him. What must you do? Come to him. Come to him. And so may God help us today to be a people who come to him and find the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be a light unto the world ourselves.